Good morning, everyone. I call this Committee of Economic Development to order. I want to note that we do have a quorum. We have two sets of minutes. Rep. Richardson, have you had a chance to look at the minutes from February 15?
Yes, Madam Chair, and I'd like to move the minutes.
Discussion? Being none. All those in favor of approving the minutes from February 15 and March 8, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Minutes are approved. Rep. Leslie Gard, welcome to the committee. You're the only person that can bring this many people on a Friday morning. I want to note that he brought treats, so I'll have... I teased him about treats. He ran up to his office and brought treats. All right. We have House File 2059, the Film Board Tax Credit. I'll move House File 2059 be referred to the Committee on Taxes. Please tell us your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I am happy to bring forward House File 2059, which would expand Minnesota Film and TV Credit Program. Thank you for giving me this time. As you can see by the audience, that it is extremely important. 2 years ago, we passed into law in Minnesota the first film and TV credit with a goal of creating a powerful economic opportunity for the state, and it has not disappointed. Tax credit programs like this have an impressive track record in other states and around the world. Now, we here in Minnesota have an opportunity. Current law has the program at the very modest amount of $5 million with a sunset in place. My bill would extend it to $25 million and eliminate the sunset. You may ask why, and I'll explain why. Right now, it is when you're trying to build that foundation of an industry that is searching for places to go. You look at Hollywood in L.A., New York, Georgia. There's so much content on TV today that the opportunity is there. But this is a but-for situation. And I want to tell you my story. So back in 2000, you guys all know I'm passionate about mining. Mm-hmm. I lost my job, and I went back to school. I was 27 years old, married with two children. And I took an extra class, you know, you got to take those. And I took theater. And I was encouraged to participate in audition for a film called North Country. And North Country was based on a true story, class action lawsuit, that stemmed from Northeast Minnesota in the mines. And it was the first, I think it was the first case, if I'm not mistaken, in the United States where this issue was going to be addressed. And with the courage of Lois Jensen, played by Charlize Theron, it changed how people do it. I mean, it was incredible. I said no, to be honest with you. When I went and auditioned, first I wasn't going to audition, but then I did the math. Teacher asked me to audition, said you're a former steel worker. They're looking for, miners. And so I said, okay, I'll do it. I went there. I auditioned. 2 weeks later, Mally Finn from L.A. offered me the part. I told her no. She said, really? And I said, no, that's not who I am. I don't want to portray that. She said that is what acting is. I said, well, I don't want to do it. Then Ricky McManus called me and asked me if I really said no. And I said yes. And she says, I would encourage you to do it. And so I said, I did it. And at that time on the Iron Range, we were devastated. 1,400 people just lost their jobs, just catastrophic. Because there is no other opportunity. And what I saw happen when I was able to participate in this film is I saw an industry come in, hire local people, stimulate our economy like I've never seen before in such a short burst. They came into it at a time when we needed it most. And then all of a sudden, they packed up, and I didn't know why. They were going to Santa Fe, New Mexico, to finish shooting the film about an extremely important case stemmed from Minnesota. And I got asked to go out to Santa Fe, and I did, and it was wonderful. And I couldn't figure out why we were out there. Well, then I found out that they offered a tax credit. We lost a large portion of that story, those jobs, those opportunities for our communities, because we didn't have no incentive. So 3-4 years ago, when they asked me to carry this bill, it struck me, and it hit me here because I saw what this industry did for my community, my region, and the opportunity it could have for the state of Minnesota. Make no mistake about it, this is a jobs creator. It is an opportunity that we can build on. This isn't giving money to Hollywood elitists. These are working class people that are here to tell a story. Stories about Minnesota, stories from across the country. Ones that make you feel good, ones that make you feel sad, ones that make you think. But they're jobs. And I know that, you know, $25 million, not everybody's going to think that that's the right one with no sunset. But it is. It is the right thing to do. Because it's going to create that foundation. It's going to create that workforce that this will continue to grow and develop. And that foundation will be here for a long time after. So that's it in a nutshell. I know that there's testifiers here that are very passionate about it. They see the opportunity, they work, they live in the industry, and they see how this industry impacts people's lives. So with that, Madam Chair and members, I would turn it over to the testifiers.
Right. The first testifier is Malady Bahan, Executive Director of Minnesota Film and TV. Please welcome to the committee. Introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Melody Bahan. I'm the Executive Director of Minnesota Film and TV and a member of the Minnesota Film Alliance. Thank you for allowing me to testify. We are grateful, we as a community, as an industry, are grateful to the legislature for passing our first production tax credit in 2021. And we're very proud of the 10 projects that have chosen Minnesota because of the program and the more than $20 million in new spending it has brought to the state. But the 2021 bill was a small pilot, and we need to take the next step to fulfill the promise of more spending and higher paying jobs for Minnesotans. Since our tax credit program began, other states, recognizing the economic benefits of film and TV production, have continued to strengthen their tax credits, making our program the smallest in the country. We are looking at a landscape where most other programs have annual caps ranging from $30 million to $400 million, or in 14 states, no cap at all. We have also struggled a bit with the sunset on the program. Films and episodic programming can sometimes take years to develop, and having a four-year sunset has cut us out of many of the discussions about films in development, and certainly out of any discussion of an ongoing series. Again, if you look at what Minnesota is competing with, most states with strong industries doing TV and streaming series have either extended or in many cases eliminated their sunsets altogether. Other states have recognized the value of these credits, and this bill will help Minnesota to more of what we are already doing very well. Decision makers in the industry have shown great interest in investing in our state, and there is more to come if we can expand and improve our program. An increase to $25 million and elimination of the sunset in Minnesota would allow us to turn the interest generated by the passage of the tax credit into commitments from studios to bring their business here and provide high-paying union jobs that come with it. Thank you for allowing my testimony, and I'm happy to take any questions.
We'll hold questions until the end. The next testifier is Hannah Alfid, Political and Labor Director, Teamsters Joint Council 32. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Hannah Alstead. I'm the political director for the Teamsters Joint Council 32, representing 75,000 members across Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Iowa. Thank you for the opportunity to speak in support of House File 2059. In 2019, film and TV projects went through the state's rebate program and made for a total spend of $7.6 million. In 2022, that number was $20.8 million. That was due in part to the creation of the state tax credit. It was great progress, however, we're currently losing larger productions, episodic projects, and stable Teamster jobs to other states that offer more competitive programs. The longer Minnesota remains out of the running, the further we move down the list. We can handle more, and we want more. The Teamsters Motion Picture Division consists of 12,000 members at 74 local unions across the country. These members work as drivers, location professionals, casting directors and associates, animal trainers, handlers, and wranglers, dispatchers, DOT admins, mechanics, chef drivers, chef assistants, and more that support the production of feature films and television. If this bill becomes law, hardworking Minnesotans, including many Teamsters that I represent, will have the opportunity to secure high-paying jobs that will allow them to put a roof over their family's head, food on the table, and even put away some for a rainy day. I had the chance to go to Los Angeles in 2019 with Minnesota Film and TV. We met with executives from organizations like Entertainment Partners and the Television Academy, along with so many others, where labor was not just a consideration in those conversations, it was the center of those conversations. From the cast to the crew, to the carpenters and electricians, to the drivers, to the people working on the projects. They're all union trained and represented. What I took away from all this is that this industry doesn't just forget about labor. This industry is labor, from IATSE to SAG-AFTRA to the Teamsters. This is an industry that saved people during the pandemic. Creators and the people bringing those creations to life kept the world moving even when it stopped. I speak on behalf of all of my union siblings in the film and TV industry when I say we're ready to get to work. Thank you.
Thank you. And next we have Brian Simpson. Can we please hold our applause until the end? Thank you. Brian Simpson, please introduce yourself for the record.
Actually, Madam Chair, we don't traditionally applaud in committees at all. I recognize that you know this particular bill is used to audiences and clapping, but
that's fine. We'll let that one slide. But it's Friday morning, and we're happy the community is here with us. So
they could be demanding an encore if it gets out of control.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brian Simpson. I'm a member of IATSE Local 490. You heard about the jobs. I'm kind of going to tell you a little bit about the jobs. Local 490 is a labor union that represents film and TV crew in the state of Minnesota. Our members work in almost every aspect of film and TV production. Like here in this room right now, you see a big crowd. We have office staff, prop masters, wardrobe stylists, location managers, script supervisors, grips, gaffers, electricians, painters, set carpenters, set decorators, makeup artists, sound mixers, craft services, set medics, and even maybe special effects. Our members are everywhere, and they are real Minnesotans working real middle-class jobs. While all of our members are skilled technicians in their craft, these jobs do not require a college degree. Film and TV production is modern-day manufacturing that is entirely dependent on human labor. These jobs are not robots. They are not automated. They cannot be replaced with anything else than human labor. These are all real people working real skilled professions. House File 2059. This bill we're talking about is a job creator that needs to be expanded. If House File 2059 were to pass as written, our current labor force would not be able to satisfy the increase in production. This would allow Local 490 and the Minnesota film industry to aggressively expand with new job creation and new jobs training programs. Some of that job growth will be handled through on-the-job training. Some of that will be longer-term programs. Local 490 has already begun working on this issue by partnering with Inspire MSP to create a path for underprivileged youth in the Twin Cities to find career opportunities in film and television production after they graduate high school. The film and TV jobs that will be created by House File 2059 will be union jobs. Film crew will receive health and retirement benefits, they will be protected by collective bargaining agreements, and they will be paid middle-class wages. Film production tax credit has had a great start so far, but we have a lot of room to grow. And with your help and your support, as the bill as written, we can make that happen here in Minnesota.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Up next, we have Michelle Scott. Welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Michelle Scott, and I'm a general manager of a local hotel on the Iron Range. And I'm here to talk about the positive impact that the filming productions and the industry has had on just my hotel alone. Because we're not a chain. We're only an independently owned hotel that doesn't get the benefits from other chains and helps on improvements. So just alone in the last year with the filming productions, doing three small low budget films and a couple of nonprofit workshops in my hotel that I am managing, they had brought in $100,000 of revenue. And because of that $100,000 revenue that we had gained from them, we were able to put back, as of right now, $35,000 of that back into our building, not only for material-wise for updating the building and doing some major repairs. We were able to hire on a few other construction workers, handymen, etc. And we plan on putting more money back into this building. Boy, I'm nervous.
You're okay.
You're doing good.
Yeah.
With that money being spent, just alone, we put that back into a local hardware store, drugstore, along with spreading that funds within 20 miles between Hibbing and Virginia local hardware stores. Now, with the filming production as well, they have also spent at the Casey's Drug Hardware Store in Chisholm as well, they had spent $32,000. And our small community, that's a big profit, we haven't seen something like that in years. Altogether, they have done $35,000 in locations on renting buildings and people's homes for filming. They have done $40,000 in catering to feed the filming crew. Car rental just in one film in 14, that was a 14-day shot. That was $10,000 put out there. That would have never been spent. As well as they've hired locals. My daughter had the opportunity to film in one of the films. She made money, as well as they do hire out other locals to be extras in the films, as well as helping on the sets, building the sets. I'm losing track. Now with that money, she had made just her for 2 days of filming, she made over $600 on take home after taxes. Obviously a 7-year-old girl at that time, what does she want to spend money on? Toys and candy. But she also only took $200 of that and spent it on toys and candy. But she also wanted to put that into her own savings account for college. Not only with the filming productions that they hired on, they also hired a Minnesota licensed teacher to be on production, because not only my daughter but another student or while a student and an actor was a school-aged child and their school was in session. So that's also bringing back, putting more money into education. And obviously they're concerned about having the education, which to me that is very important. I'm kind of off track here. So not only has the film production has been putting revenue in, they've also made an impact on our local communities by inspiring others. Just alone, one of the producers had inspired even personally my own son, because he had questions about if on an Easter egg theory between two movies, and he had asked one of the producers on it, and the producer told him to write that script. Now, by him telling him to write that script, he has been writing every day, which has had improved his English grades. We're talking from C's to D's to A's and B's. I mean, where else could you get that from, having somebody with that much of a power to inspire somebody to write? And these, just the filming productions has put back with two films that I know of what they've spent on budgets, they had put back or put into our community over $108,000. Chisholm is 5,000, 6,000 population?
A little under five.
That's a huge impact. I grew up my whole life on the Iron Range between Hibbing and Chisholm, and I've watched every store close. Stores get knocked down. Stores being vacant. But now they're not. They're being used. Not only has, like, they run back that, during one of the filmings, one of the producers made friends with a firefighter, which is they had hired the Chisholm local fire department to be part of. They hired him. One of the firefighters became friends with and went partners and bought a bakery. And at that time, the bakery was in jeopardy of closing because the previous owner had health issues and passed away shortly after. Not only are they going to be opening up the bakery and making sure that it's staying open, they also did an Airbnb, bringing back more into the community.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Discussion on the bill. Rep. Igel, or who wants to go first?
Well, I just want to thank you, Representative Lizegard, for bringing this bill today. You know, a lot was spoken about the range and how this has impacted, you know. The film industry coming to Minnesota is a huge opportunity for not just the Iron Range, but all of Minnesota. And in my experience being up on the range and kind of working with some of these films that have came to Minnesota, the reason they're coming is because we're so diverse. Because you go an hour in any direction in this state, you can get to new different demographics, you can get to new topography, you can go to Lake Superior, you can go to the plains. And that's really attractive for film companies because then they don't have to get on planes and go places. So if Minnesota can become a place that attracts that kind of business and brings it, so not only just can Greater Minnesota benefit, but so can Metro Minnesota, right? We have a wonderful city center down here, Minneapolis-St. Paul, to do wonderful filming in as well. So I'm glad that we're going to be moving the sunset on this bill today. You know, obviously it's a great bill for the range, but it's a great bill for Minnesota. So I can't appreciate you enough for bringing this bill. Thank you.
Winner, do you have the comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I love being on economic development. It's been extremely educational for me. Locally, we worked with economic development for years, how to pull businesses into rural Minnesota. So the film industry is entirely new to me. I understand how the theater classes and so forth would prepare you for politics. I think that's kind of an amazing process. The other thing that the testifiers and yourself have brought up, and I think it's a great point, is how taxes can either pull people in and pull people and businesses into an area or the state or push people out. And I think that's a great point that needs to be carried across a lot of different bills that affect us. The one question I do have is, you know, do we expect with this tax credit to see, and is there more projects in the near future, you know, in case they need a large bald person, you know, I would be interested. So is there any other plans for the future, or, you know, what kind of growth can we expect with the money?
Chair Leslie Gard.
Madam Chair, I guess I would like to turn that over to the industry leaders that have a better feel of what potential could come. So,
Melody. Who wants to come up? All right.
Hi, thank you, Representative, and Madam Chair. We are, our office, Minnesota Film and TV, we are in conversation with producers, networks, filmmakers every week who are interested in coming to Minnesota, but are holding off until they find out what happens here, frankly, because, for example, we are in conversation with a major cable network about a series that is set in Minnesota, and we really, really are doing everything we can to get them here. But with the sunset, they won't come. If we can eliminate the sunset and make this increase, we could see in the next year a major network series shooting in Minnesota. No promises, but we're certainly talking with them about it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I do have one another individual that Upper Midwest. Sherry,
please
could you
come
please
up
come?
And introduce yourself for the record.
Hi, my name is Sherry Marshick. I'm the executive director of the Upper Midwest Film Office. We work in tandem with the Minnesota Film and TV Board, and our concentration is in the northern part of the state, but we support the whole state. On a regular basis, we have a running list of productions that call us that are interested, want to understand our credits and our incentives, and then ask about our workforce and our infrastructure. And any given day, that list can be between 20 and 30 projects with budgets somewhere between $60 and $80 million total that is just running. And not all those projects are going to come. We would never say that they are all because, as Melody explained, that those projects, some of them aren't applicable to us and some of them need a longer runway. And they're looking at 2025, 2026 in order to come here. So, every day there are projects that are calling us, they're interested in shooting here because of all the things that we offer and because of the infrastructure that we're building and the teams here that are so dedicated. So, thank you.
Thank you. You have power? No. Okay. Lead Kosnick.
Thank you. I just had, I think I figured out my question, but if we could clarify, I had a question about the repealer in appendix, but I think it's just repealing the expiration date, but not the other parts of sub 116U.27 that required a report, the minimum investment, and that if I just could get a clarification from House Research, and I understand it. You want to go to the tax research?
Chair and members, I can confirm, yes, that's just repealing the expiration date.
Okay, thanks. I got a little concerned that we weren't going to do that. One of the parts of that is a report that I think is valuable to us as a committee of list the projects that are generated from this later on in the report that are important. And, you know, when we talk about economic development, I think there's a lot of support for this particular investment from the state in terms of credits. You know, we look for a diversity of industry sectors. This is an industry that we haven't talked about a lot in this committee, and we haven't done a lot in the state, but also it encourages entrepreneurism. As we talked about, the affiliated or associated businesses that would benefit, so I appreciate that. And also, you know, working to promote a climate that is responsive to the needs of business, and I think Representative Lislegard, the industry is saying, we want to do this work and just need to be competitive, and that's what I think we're trying to accomplish here. So it kind of meets the benchmarks that we should be striving for in economic development, and to provide economic growth statewide was mentioned. And so the other thing that we maybe should focus more, if we can, I think this will be a lot more tangible in this particular model of economic development is that we're going to generate economic activity only because we are doing this credit that we will. The economic activity won't happen unless we do this, but for this credit, but for this investment of the state resources, we would not normally see some of the projects coming here. So I, you know, it's a little bit of a gamble. We're increasing the size of the credit, but I think it's a good opportunity for Minnesota to say, yes, we want this industry here and we want it to grow and flourish.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm impressed by the forethought that you had us hear this bill on Oscar weekend. Really well done. Rep. Litzelgard as well. I just wanted to speak in favor of this. As someone who started a cinema here in Minnesota, this is a industry that's near and dear to my heart. And I think the testifiers, thank you for testifying today, did a great job of saying often when people think of making a film, you think of the director, the actors. And certainly they're important to the process, but the almost literally thousands of other people that make a movie happen, from caterers to renting cars to renting the equipment to buying props at local stores to contractors, being hired to build sets, and included in that is carpentry, and you have to buy the wood to make that happen. It goes on and on and on, the economic opportunity that this brings. So I'm really excited about this, and I also wanted to speak on the sunset being removed, which in this industry is massive, because planning a major TV show or a film is not something that happens in 12 months, sometimes not even 24 months. And so companies, as they're looking at where they're going to shoot, to see that this is going to be something that is available when they're going to shoot is massive. And as Rep. Wiener said, we talk a lot about taxes causing people to move or not move. And to be honest, I often think that those are dubious claims. But in this particular case, I know Minnesotans who live in California or New Mexico or Georgia who would like to come home, but they just need to know that they can work when they come home. And this will provide that. So thank you, Rep. Litzelgard, for bringing this forward. Really excited about this bill.
Thank you. I want to thank the community. I know many of you guys drove hours in the snow. That shows that your commitment to this cause. And we appreciate hearing from you, because you elected us, you put us in the seats, and seeing this many people on a Friday morning tells me this is an important bill. Do you have a comment? Oh, one more comment. Go ahead,
Representative. Thank you, Chair, and Representative Litzelgard, and to our community. I just wanted to chime in. I know we have a room full of our northeastern Minnesota folks, and if you haven't seen the 2002 study that was put out, maybe it was mentioned here, rolled in a little late, but I would encourage everybody to check that out. I think this is a really good bill, as we've heard the return on investment. You know, in this economic development committee, we want to know that the dollars that we're putting in as a state and a partner are effective, and that report shows that for every incentive dollar, $6.90 are returned back, which is higher than any industry. And I saw the picture of you, so I'm sad that I love to see this on here. Now I know that you were in North Country. I wasn't in Mary Kiss Cam, but maybe in the future. But I just have to say, like, as a Duluthian, you know, we are firing on all cylinders, as you've heard in our community in the Iron Range. I know in this committee we actually heard Film North, which was a project that is paired into this industry and into these tax credits that will also work down here in the metro area. And I've been hearing from business owners, from community members who have been writing in and emailing, saying exactly what we heard. Either it's entrepreneurs who are seeing the support of the industry being there, lodging, and folks who are in prop and hair. I also want to specifically also just shout out that the work that's been done with part of this is supporting our entrepreneurs of color. We worked really closely with how can we have lots of force multipliers and co-benefits. And we've heard diverse media who are wanting to come. And I'm excited to hear the unveiling of which one it is. But just in the bit of time with my at the city, I know that those calls come in and they can come in anywhere. And the more that we can do to help set up that ecosystem to really draw that in and set it up, I think we ought to invest in it. So I just want to thank you to the storytellers and the creators and our labor workers in this room who drove down and took your time out to come here. I think this is really important as we talk about the challenges with, you know, property taxes and these things. This would help us to grow our property tax base. So I could go on and on, but I say, you know, let's raise our hats to you by raising the cap and extending this sunset. Thank you.
Chair Leslie Gott, your final thoughts on the bill.
Well, I just thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. What a wonderful discussion, and I truly appreciate all of your support. There's only so much ongoing money going to be happening, and I would encourage all of you to seriously take a good look of what this can bring, because it's going to be competitive in the end, right? We all know that. And so, but this is going to create jobs. It is going to improve people's lives. And so, I just have to comment on on one of my testifiers from Chisholm. It's not easy to come here when you don't speak in public. But for you to come here and share your story and how it's impacted your lives, and that's all across the state of Minnesota for these small business owners. And so this is an opportunity that is before us, the state of Minnesota, to grow something that could enhance everybody's lives and the state of Minnesota. This industry has an unbelievable potential of economic growth for us, and we need to seize that moment. It's $25 million of ongoing, no sunset, but just think of the positive things that it can do for us. All the wonderful comments that we heard here today, I just ask you, when it comes time to make the tough decisions, that this is included in the final one. And you all are welcome to sign on to this wonderful bill as co-authors. I'd appreciate that. So, Madam Chair, thank you so much for hearing the bill.
All right. Well, the chair renews her motion that House File 2059 be re-referred to the Tax Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The motion prefails and the bill is re-referred to the Tax Committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
I believe we have another bill on the calendar for you. House File 1781.
Yep.
Yeah. You want us to do the other bill and you can say bye to people? We'll give you a moment to say bye to everyone. We'll just say
bye,
another
everyone.
Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
That's fine. Yep, you could go. We'll
Okay.
Okay. All right. All right. We're going to move things around, and we're going to hear Rep. Pelter's bill. Members, I brought sambusa this morning, so I don't think you want to cold sambusa, so if you want to go grab sambusa while we transition into, yep.
I didn't think you were sharing.
There's rye bread if you want one.
You gotta behave.
Yeah.
If you want one.
I'm more behaved on Friday. I'll grab some for you guys. Oh, they are warm.
You know what? I'll sit. Can you like this? Let's just make some house.
I'm just gonna pass it down to you guys.
But. Oh. Well, I'm out.
So you know you get some.
Right.
I don't care. I'm a vegan, so we're going to.
There are no vegan. I'm from a culture that has no vegan.
We're very judgmental.
Rep. Pelter, welcome to the committee. I move that House File 1659 be laid over for possible inclusion. Rep. Pelter, please introduce yourself.
Yes,
Can we keep the noise down, please? Thank you. Please introduce yourself. Not yourself, your belt.
Well, I can introduce myself, too, Madam Chair. Thank you. So, I first of all, I kind of feel like coming right after a ranger, I should just say it's a good bill, vote for it, but we'll go a little bit more in depth. So House File 1659 would appropriate $10 million through the Bloomington Port Authority in funding for the World's Fair Expo 2027 host organization. This is an exciting opportunity for the city of Bloomington, for our state, and really for our entire country. Even just hearing the phrase World's Fair, I think, carries with it a certain amount of excitement. It calls to mind images of iconic structures like the Eiffel Tower and the Space Needle. Needless to say, this kind of effort would be a massive undertaking, and it really would require an all-hands-on-deck approach, which is why we're bringing forward this proposal. House File 1659 is, of course, co-authored by the entire Bloomington House delegation, and I also want to thank Representatives Hornstein and Doubt for their support as well. If the Bloomington site is selected, a massive amount of work would need to be done in relatively short order, and a significant amount of funding would be required. The funding in this bill would go a long way toward that effort. I recognize that $10 million is not an insignificant ask from this committee, but the payoff would be contributing to $2.5 billion in economic impact, including $365 million in state and local tax collections, in addition to a literally once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to show off Minnesota to the rest of the world. So with that, I will turn things over to my testifiers. We have our mayor from the city of Bloomington, Tim Bussey, and our city manager, Jane Eva Ruby.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Mayor. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Madam Chair, members. Thank you for this opportunity, and thank you to Representative Coulter for sponsoring this bill and authoring this bill. My name is Tim Bussey. I have the honor and the privilege of serving as the mayor of the city of Bloomington. The bill before you today is a very important request to continue supporting the efforts of the United States and the state of Minnesota in our pursuit of Expo 2027 and to plan for our success. Now, I know that not everyone is familiar with the Expo, so I want to provide a quick overview of what an Expo is, and then our city manager, Jamie Verbrugge, is available to discuss a little more detail about the bill and what it does. So first off, what is an Expo? Well, very simply, it's a World's Fair. And yes, they still do those all over the world. The United States has a long history of World's Fairs, as Representative Coulter mentioned, including some iconic legacies, such as the Space Needle in Seattle, the Unisphere in New York, and the historic museums in Chicago. But it has been four decades since the United States has hosted a World's Fair. So a group of Minnesotans have been working with our partners in Washington, D.C. to bring the world back to the United States and to do it right here in Minnesota. Expo 2027 is a specialized exposition organized around the title Healthy People, Healthy Planet, Wellness and Well-Being for All, and a theme of health and well-being, which basically shapes all life on this planet. In all parts of the world, health and well-being is the single most important prerequisite for things like economic prosperity, a sustainable planet, and flourishing urban and rural life. To have success in any of these areas, we need to be a healthy, thriving people. Now, coming out of a global pandemic and amidst the challenge of climate change, the timing of this event focused on this conversation could not be better. And there is not a better place in the United States to host an event focused on the health and wellness than Minnesota, where we have some of the leading research, education, manufacturing, and health delivery systems in the nation and in the world. I am frankly very excited that Bloomington will be the host city when we welcome the world to Minnesota. Again, thank you, Madam Chair, for hearing this bill and providing this opportunity to discuss Expo with you. As I mentioned, with me is Bloomington City Manager Jamie Verbrugge, who, if it pleases the Chair, would like to offer some testimony, if you would permit it.
Welcome, Mr. City Manager. Please introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Madam Chair, sorry, if I could quickly, brief oversight, I do have the A1 amendment just to get the bill in the shape that,
we
that
will,
I would like it in.
We can, after the testimony, we'll take action on that. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you very much. And members, my name is Jamie Verbrugge. I'm the city manager in the city of Bloomington. So Expo 2027 will be organized and operated as a public-private partnership. An independent, nonprofit 501c3 organization will be established as the host organization, and that organization is designated by the United States government to plan and design, build, and operate Expo. So Bloomington will be the host city for the event. The public-private partnership financial model for Expo relies substantially on revenues from corporate sponsorships and ticket revenues. The cash flow for Expo is heavily back-weighted, with a large portion of the revenue coming from ticket sales and a secondary but also large amount coming from sponsorships. The challenge is that the host committee, and Bloomington as the host city, will need to immediately start work this summer long before the budgeted revenues come in. So the bill asks for $10 million to the Bloomington Port Authority to provide funding for the Expo host organization, and the funds would be provided to the host organization via an agreement with the Bloomington Port Authority, and those funds would be used to finalize the Expo community dossier, which is a requirement of the Bureau of International Expositions, for development planning and coordination for real estate, development planning and coordination for public-private partnerships, the infrastructure design and planning, the financial modeling and projections, and to staff the host organization to actually plan and organize and operate the actual event. So, Madam Chair and members, this is really an exciting opportunity for Minnesota and for the United States and for Bloomington, and really appreciate you giving us a chance to share it with you. The mayor and I are happy to answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe there is an A1 amendment. Let's take action on that. Can you please explain what the A1 amendment does?
Thank you. It really is just sort of a technical amendment, just clearing up some language and putting the bill in proper form and function.
Any discussion on the A1 amendment?
It's a little early on a Friday for me, but there might have been, I thought, let me find it here. The amendments line 1.2, it has the last word, not limited to, and on line 1.2, on line 10 of the bill, would that add and would it had two twos in there? So if you insert it after used, would it then it just me, but then it would read four activities included but not limited to finalize? Or am I reading
we'll
it
ask
wrong?
Our staff.
Chair and members, no. It because of the comma there, the two U's is the U.
Excellent. Okay.
All right. All those in favor of adopting the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, the amendment is adopted and the bill is in the shape that you would like. Discussion on the bill. Yes, Rep. Wiener. Sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Totally new to this again. Can you explain a little bit the funding, how the money works with this? And also, this is contingent on the Expo coming in. So is there money being dispersed? Or it's not, there's no money being dispersed until after the acceptance. Is that correct? And then as far as once the Expo is done, is there infrastructure, structures, is there things put in place that would help the vitality of the area afterwards? How does that all work?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the I think it was the second of three questions, you are correct that the funding would be contingent on the bid being awarded. I would direct members' attention to lines 1.13 and 1.14 in the bill that specifically does state that. To your third question, I can speak a little bit to that I know from my previous job on the Bloomington City Council, that the infrastructure and the design is very much being discussed, both in terms of serving the function of the Expo, but then what comes next. How is that infrastructure and the buildings that are constructed, how is that going to be used to further the vitality of that particular area of Bloomington. I can tell, you know, from experience where other significant events have occurred, Olympics and so on, that's been something that a lot of folks have thought about. And I know our staff is very intently considering that with proposals moving forward. I think as far as the details of the funding agreement, I'm going to have to phone a friend and ask our city manager to speak to that more specifically.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. So the funding model, again, the initial budget for this is based largely on the ticket sales and the corporate sponsorships. But it is a public-private partnership, and so there's probably going to be some funding that is necessary for supportive infrastructure and that type of thing. But it really is funding from all, you know, all three levels of the government, the federal government, state government, hopefully, which is why we're here asking, and then from the local government, the city and county level. The federal government is strongly supportive of this. The administration for President Obama, President Trump, President Biden, all three of those administrations have supported the Minnesota application to host this expo. The Congress has allocated $25 million in support of Expo Pavilion in Osaka, which is a really important step if we are to be awarded for 2027. So the federal government is strongly behind this. And at the local level, we've committed significant resources in the pursuit of this as well, and anticipate that we will have local responsibility too. So it is indeed a public-private partnership, very heavily reliant on the private piece of that.
Governor, do you have a follow-up?
Well, I guess the flow of money, I guess, was more what I would have liked an explanation of, if that's right. Does it go through deeds? Is it coming through different sources? After we allocate the money here, how does it get to the event?
Yep. Thank you. Madam Chair, thank you. The money from the state would be allocated through deed to the Bloomington Port Authority. Okay. The Bloomington Port Authority would have an agreement with the host organization that outlines the responsibility and the accountability for the expenditure of funds, and we would be the responsible agency for administering that agreement.
One more?
Follow-up. Sorry, Madam Chair, thank you. With deed taking that responsibility, then there would be reporting afterwards. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that a yes?
Oh, yes.
I see heads nodding, so that's a yes. Okay. Rep. Lee Kosnick, unless someone else has a comment. Nope.
You have a question? Madam Chair, since they're being hesitant, I'm just going to ask. it's an exciting opportunity. I know we've heard a lot about it. Just kind of a little bit more of the mechanics. Line 1.13, reimbursing before the expenses are incurred, just kind of, that seems a little bit, usually it's a refund type thing, but just if you could talk about that a little bit, I'm sure there's a reason for it. And then how much money can be expended, all $10 million of this, and still not get the select?
No.
Nope. So if you can clarify that for us, that would be wonderful. And then tailing off of that, would there be, once Bloomington or Minnesota is selected, will there be additional funds asked for the state? Or is this it?
All right. Who wants to take that?
So I can take part of that. And I if I understood your question correctly, and feel free to tell me if I didn't, you know, again, the appropriation is contingent on approval by the BIE, and that vote happens this fall. And so if the Minnesota site is not selected, all $10 million goes back into the general fund. So that's kind of the end of the road there if it's not selected. As far as the technicalities, I think I'll have to tap out again here.
Madam Chair, members, and to clarify a bit with Representative Coulter's Representative Coulter's comments. The final decision by the Bureau of International Expositions, which is the organization in Paris, which decides where expos are held, will take place on June 21st. So we will know on June 21st whether or not Minnesota has won the bid, and the expectation would be, if passed, that this $10 million would then be distributed on July 1st, I believe. And again, with the thought that if and when Minnesota wins this bid, we are literally going to have to hit the ground running as fast as we possibly can to make sure we are ready for 2027. And to have this money available to begin the planning and the work that needs to go into that is a very important part of that. And again, working through our Expo 2027, the organizational board that's putting it together, right now we are in, if you think about it, if you remember the Super Bowl, we had a bid committee for the Super Bowl and then the Super Bowl host committee, the operations committee. Right now we are in the bid committee area, the world, part of the world. We ultimately will stand up, if Minnesota wins, we will stand up a host committee which will take on all of these responsibilities and take on all of the planning and organization and ultimately the development and building of the site.
If I could follow up, Madam Chair. So in order to be in the process to take some resources, so you're doing separate fundraising, non-state revenues to get the dossier ready and the application ready, is that, and that's not part of
the responsibility of the organization, this nonprofit that is, I'm sorry, I apologize, right. Madam Chair. Madam Chair and members, the organization that has been working on this to this point, Minnesota Expo 2027, has done that. It's raised significant funds both privately and through the city of Bloomington. Hennepin County has contributed as well. And I will note also we have unanimity among our Minnesota congressional delegation. All eight representatives, both senators, are in support of this. And we also like to point out this was also has been supported by the last three presidential administrations. Looking back, we're trying to find another thing that all three of the past presidential administrations have agreed with and supported, and this is one of them. So we believe we've got strong support at the federal level, certainly at the local level for the fundraising that has taken place to fund the operations that have gone on so far with the hopes of continuing this in the future. Again, funding it with this public-private partnership. So yes, there would be the hope, the expectation that there would continue to be additional public funding that would be available, but also there would be the expectation of significant revenues from both ticket sales and from sponsorships. For example, for the official soft drink of Expo 2027, there comes a price tag with that, and that will help fund through sponsorship.
Do you still have more follow-ups?
Yeah, maybe more just kind of a wrap-up, Madam Chair.
Okay.
I think generally this kind of also meets the but-for test, and, it's an exciting opportunity to showcase the state and happens to be in Bloomington, which is might be reasonable. If it's a health thing, I'm sure there might be some shuttle buses down to Rochester. But figured it'd look up. You did mention down the road there could be additional state revenues requested and support. Do you have any kind of ballpark and what that might entail?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative. Until the host organization is formed and the more refined budget is put together, it's hard for us to say. I think the folks who have been involved in this are confident that the preliminary budget is a good one and a strong one, and that the ticket sales and the corporate sponsorships are going to take care of a good amount of the cost associated with the event. We won't know the final answer to that until we get further into the planning process.
Kostnick, this will be laid over, so this won't be the last time you see this bill.
I appreciate the effort, Madam Chair, and just looking down the road of what further would be asked of the state, but I appreciate the efforts and could be an exciting opportunity, but still need to know what's going to be asked of the state, and what I'm hearing now is this is initial money. There are going to be additional resources, but we don't know how much that is. Slight concern, but we'll continue.
All right. Rep. Polker, your final comments on the bill? I don't see any other.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for the thoughtful and engaged discussion. I would first of all just reiterate again the significant bipartisan support that this bid enjoys both at the state and at the federal level. Again, to the mayor's point, I'm having a hard time thinking of anything that that Congresswoman Omar and Congressman Emmer agree on beyond this, and that is exciting to me. Because I think this really is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Mine may be the first name on the bill, and certainly if others want to sign on, you are more than welcome to. But I think this funding would be an opportunity for every one of us to have some ownership, to have our own sort of little piece of this opportunity to show off our state and what we bring to the world stage. So thank you so much for your consideration and just really want to strongly encourage inclusion in your budget bill.
Thank you. With that, the bill is laid over. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The next bill we have, we go back to Chair Lestigard. Since today is his day in economic development.
Yeah, way to go, Representative Coulter. You messed it up.
We gave you a chance to say goodbye to your folks. So.
No, thank you so much, Madam Chair.
It was Lee Kosnick's idea.
All my fans left. I mean, so.
Now you have no one to cheer
No.
House file, Chair moves that House file 1781 is laid over for possible inclusions. Chair Lestigard, please tell us your bill.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. You know, 1781 is a agency bill. And so with me today, it's about Giants Ridge. It truly is a gem. It's a state-owned facility in northeast Minnesota that we are truly blessed to have. And with me today is Linda Johnson, and that will be presenting the agency bill.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Linda Johnson. I represent the Department of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation located in northeastern Minnesota. Part of our mission is to diversify the economy of northeastern Minnesota. And back in 1984, the agency purchased a facility called Giants Ridge. We purchased it for $68,000 and have invested millions over the past 30 plus years. And it has become an economic driver, especially on the east end of the Iron Range, between the cities of Aurora and Biwabik. The facility does over 100,000 visits a year. We have golf and skiing and most recently mountain biking, hiking. We've had private sector development there that has been attracted over the years with our lodging components, our single family housing development, and it goes on and on. And today, as you can imagine, the infrastructure continues to age. And we're looking at strategies to be able to create an account with the State Board of Investment that would invest agency funds so that that fund could grow so we could use that account to help offset our long-term maintenance accounts. It's modeled after the Stillwater Bridge account that was set up. MnDOT contributed $7.5 million in principal into the Lift Bridge account, which was invested by the State Board of Investment to maximize the investment returns. And so again, this legislation would create an account where the agency would invest the fund over a period of years. I'll take any questions.
Rep. Igel?
No questions. Just as a member of the Iron Range Resource and Rehabilitation Board, I just wanted to speak to my support for this bill. Giants Ridge really is a gem. You know, I was just pulling some most recent facts on my phone there before I spoke. You know, the golf courses there are in the top 100 in the country, actually in the top 30. We have an amazing facility up there. And by setting up this account today, it's going to allow the agency to continue to take care of that asset and allow for further public-private partnerships up there. And that's exactly what we want to do. You know, I kind of have a vision that one day that Giants Ridge is going to double, triple in size with an outside private investor, providing more jobs and bringing more people to see our great range. So I 100% support this today and hope the rest of the committee will do the same.
All right. Any other comments? Rep. Perryman?
Oh, sorry. Nope. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering, is there a time limit for when this funding and the funding mechanism will sunset? I hope not, but that's my opinion.
Madam Chair, committee members, I am not aware. Mr. Callio, are you aware if there's a sunset?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dave Callio. I've been involved in the accounting at Giants Ridge for about 23 years now. It's not really a sunset, I would say, but there's going to come a point where we wouldn't have to put money into it anymore because it would meet our goals. Once our goals of, you know, revenue plus the investment revenue equals what we're spending, there's really no need to put more money into it. And over, I've done estimates between 10 and 25 years. The max we would probably have to invest over 25 years would be 15 to 20 million to create a $60 to $70 million balance, which would create about a $6 million annual revenue to put towards Giants Ridge. That's on the high end. Maybe we can do it in 15 years, but we're just trying to create another revenue stream. Thank you.
You have Madam Chair?
Follow up?
Just a quick, I love the bill. I think it's great. I've been there before. Don't tell anybody in St. Cloud that I go up there, but maybe you'll want to bring some facility down to St. Cloud for us. Don't have any hills, but good open land for golf courses. So thank you, though, so much for bringing it, and I do like it a lot.
All right. Chair Leslie, got your final comments on the bill.
Just real quick, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I worked at Giants Ridge when I was 19 years old and had hair and, you know, all that wonderful stuff. But it has been a part of northeast Minnesota and on the East Range for a very long time. It's 3 miles from my house. You know, the quarry is number one public golf course in the state of Minnesota. The ski hills, the investment, it's becoming more diversified. I believe there's only three vertical trails for mountain biking. So it's truly incredible. And so I can't thank the agency enough for their commitment over the years. This has been a transition over a long period of time to make this one of the best facilities, state-owned facilities in the state of Minnesota. So this is a wonderful thing, and I would truly appreciate your support.
Okay, with that, Chair renews our motion that House File 1781 to be laid over, and the bill is laid over. Another bill for Chair Lissigot.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Today is Iron Range Day.
Iron Range Day. We're special.
I'll move that House File 1783 to be laid over. Please tell us about your bill.
Okay, thank you so much, Madam Chair and committee members. Once again, this bill will provide the Commissioner of IRRRB with the authority to design and implement programs to manage employee separation, retention, and recruitment. So with me today, I have a testifier that can walk through the bill. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Madam Chairman, committee members, my name is Mary Ann Buskey. I'm the Chief of Operations at Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation. Our request before you today is not monetary, but it's a request for authority to establish a separation and retention incentive program. The agency has a complement right now of 42 employees, of which 11, 26%, are at or near retirement eligibility. The separation and incentive retention program would assist the agency in strategically transitioning its workforce and hire new employees in a labor market with unprecedented low unemployment rates. It will also assist with the challenge of recruiting employees in our rural location. Under the authority of the provision in the statute, the agency will have flexibility in the use of compensation and reward incentives that support retention strategies and best practices that are valued by employees, such as linking compensation and benefit payouts to years of service. The authority will support a controlled approach to turnover and recruitment and help position the agency for success during a period of reorganization. From a funding standpoint, the agency's dedicated revenues from taconite production taxes, which we receive in lieu of local property taxes, would fund any programs that we develop. If granted this authority, the agency would work with its board and cover any costs associated with programs as a part of its annual operating budget. No general fund dollars would be used for any part of the programs. In terms of a history of legislation that's similar for Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation, the legislature has previously approved separation incentive programs for the agency, most recently in 2017. And during the 2022 legislative session, this very provision was included in the state government finance bill by both chambers, but that bill did not receive final approval before the legislative session expired. I'm happy to take any questions. I thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Discussion on the bill? Rep. Igo. This is being laid over.
Mm-hmm.
Rep. Igo.
Just going to speak to the bill. Again, this is, I can't speak highly enough about all of our staff at the IRRR. Single one of them there are just fantastic. And to do this kind of move so we can make sure to give those incentives and hire the next generation of team there is going to be crucially important. Again, there's even a sunset in this provision to give those who look at that kind of stuff a little peace of mind. So it's an easy thing for us to do to support an agency that's supporting all of the Iron Range. Thank you all for what you do.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just as an educational aspect, maybe research could tell me, is there any other parts of the state where we do anything similar, or is this just tied to the mining in the northern part, or is this spread it to different aspects of the state?
Chair members, are you asking about the separation incentive programs or the IRRRB in general? Now, I guess.
Not exclusively to the IRRB, sorry. But do we have the retention itself? Do we have retention and separation programs for any other areas of the state? I mean, do we have any similar programs that affect different areas?
Go ahead,
Chair and members. So I'm not by any means a state government expert. I know we have authorized very similar programs for the IRRR in the past. So it's similar to those, but I don't know if about other state agencies.
Okay, thank you.
All right, final comments on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for doing this for me on a Friday and for all the members to show up. You know, we're trying to meet the first deadline, and so I truly appreciate it, 8:30 in the morning. Yep, you too, my friend. Yep, cookies for you. So, you know, all these bills that you heard today and this one, they're all important to Northeast Minnesota and, you know, obviously the first one across the state of Minnesota, but this is giving us the tools to set up the agency moving forward. So I truly appreciate your support. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Chair renews her motion that House File 1783 to be laid over, and the bill is laid over. With that, members, I don't think we have anything else on the agenda, and our next meeting will be on.
I just had one question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And it's not about the bill, but since he's still here, when is this Ranger Party?
So
I mean, we had to come in here on a Friday, man.
I know. So in all honesty, I'm doing a little more planning on this one. There's going to be a theme. In the last 4 years, we lost, Senator Tomasoni, former Representative Rook Avina, Senator Doug Johnson, Joe Begich, former Representative Joe Begich, and a whole host. So it's going to be next year in the beginning of the session where we can put together something special to honor the past while embrace the future. So that is the goal. So
and we get special seating because we were here on a Friday.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right.
Nothing stranger than the Ranger Party.
Well, thank you, members. Our next meeting is our regular time on Wednesday, but I'm truly thankful for your time and commitment to come here on a Friday morning at 8:30. Have a good weekend. This committee is adjourned.